part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part.
Well, let's get started. This is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn, and I am here with my two pals, Liad Goldberg and Ian Scheller. And this week, we are here to talk about Netflix, Marvel's Iron Fist. This is the latest series from Marvel and Netflix, which I just said. And it debuted last weekend, and we are here to discuss it. Liad actually has the flu, so he's a little under the weather, but he's a dedicated part-time fanboy. So thank you for joining us, Liad. You are a trooper.
Thank you for having me.
You have a will of iron, as they said in the comic books. But yeah, so we are here to discuss Iron Fist, which has probably been the worst reviewed Marvel thing ever, I think, in the history of maybe all of, all the new stuff, the movies and the new TV shows.
At least the Netflix ones, I would think. I'm not sure about the other TV shows.
I think, I think it gets worse reviews than like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think, like, when you total them up on Rotten Tomatoes, when I had checked it out on Friday morning, it was at 12%. And I mean, I'm going to open up by saying that I do not think that Iron Fist deserves 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, I think it deserves more than 12%. I'm not saying, like, it doesn't even deserve 12%. No, I'm saying that I think that this has been a bit unfairly maligned by the critics. What do you guys think?
I agree with you. I don't think that's a fair score at all. I'm looking at it right now. It's at 19 at the moment, but the audience score is at 86.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I think the audience score is closer to reality. There's a few things I have issue with the series, which we'll get into, I'm sure, later. But overall, it's a good series.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't figure out why all these critics were destroying it. And we're not just talking critics from maybe the comic book world. What I was reading, and I usually don't get sucked into this kind of thing because I'm not on Facebook, but around the office, people were just saying, apologizing to me and another guy who are very much into the Marvel shows. And then so I naturally just started reading stuff. I already had a doubt in my head because I knew they didn't cast a martial artist. Mm-hmm. So already I was being very stuck up and sort of forming opinions about the show because I'm a diehard martial arts movie fan. However, after reading everything and being very agitated and really anxious and pissed, I watched the show and I got to say I'm really, really enjoying it. And to all those writers out there who said, like, for instance, there's a gentleman from Variety who wrote at the end of his article, oh, well, I don't really like any of the Marvel shows. Well, it's like, OK, I wish you would have told me that in the first paragraph. You know what I mean? So a lot of this stuff, I think, was people waiting to jump on Marvel to see an opportunity and just say, oh, it's bad, and get a bunch of clicks on their websites. And I think it was mainly that. Some of me when watching the show was thinking this was a great ploy by Netflix to just put a bunch of dumpy press out there and then have the fans come rescue the show. But I don't know. I don't want to analyze too deeply. I did get caught up in it, though. I got to admit, I got caught up in the negative press.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I mean, I kind of ignored it to begin with when I started seeing things – pop up, but you know, like I'm looking at a headline. I just Googled Iron Fist before we started recording, and you know, there's a headline from Vox. It says Netflix and Marvel's Iron Fist is an ill-conceived, poorly written disaster. And I keep seeing a lot of headlines like this, like it's the worst thing Marvel's ever done, and it's absolutely terrible. And like this is Marvel's first misstep. And I was like, wow. I mean, unlike the reviews for like Superman v Batman, like I couldn't believe how wrong these reviews were. Like I was actually started watching it Friday morning because we were going out of town, my family and I, and my daughter was in school during the day, and so I had an opportunity early in the morning to plow through like the first three or four episodes like back to back, which is something that I never really have a chance to do. And I was expecting something like truly awful. Like I was expecting something like worse than CW shows, right. You know? And while, you know, this wasn't anything even close to that. This was shot well, it's acted well. The actors are all pretty decent. I feel like, you know, there's definitely issues with pacing that I have. And I do feel it is the weakest of the Netflix shows bunch, but there's no way that this is like a disaster.
I'm not sure I even agree with that last sentiment about it being the weakest of the bunch. Just because, Luke Cage was really good and enjoyable, but it didn't have enough action for me, and this does. So I'm, in some ways, Luke Cage was better. In some ways, this is better. And I can't figure out which is the weakest one.
Well, to me, and Ian, you can chime in on this if you want. I feel like this is the one that has the least sort of individual character of its own. You know what I mean? I feel like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage had a bit of flair or style that was very much their own. And
absolutely.
My own disappointment with Iron Fist is that it seems very sort of generic. You know what I mean? One complaint about it would be that it seems very sort of like generic, almost network TV quality, which to me is a bit of an insult, but there's a part of me that feels like, wow, it doesn't have flair, you know what I mean? Which is something that Iron Fist as a TV show and the Marvel shows have displayed like in spades, you know what I mean? They've had a lot of like style, like stylized to them. And I feel like this Iron Fist, while it's good and it's solid, to me, it's lacking sort of even a bit of a visual palette, you know what I mean? Where I feel like this just looks like almost everything else on TV. Does that mean that it's terrible? No. But does that mean, you know, but I do think that there could have been some room for improvement. How about you, Ian?
I thought they did a lot of similar things they've done in the previous shows, whereas a lot of the background lighting is going to be the core colors of that character. So you see a lot of yellows and a lot of greens in the background of this show. So I thought creatively they're still following a similar template, but there's so much stuff to the character that is confusing, and that when you take it, I think, to the TV level, you start thinking of other things. But to keep on this topic, I think they purposefully kept it bare or more stripped down because there's so much going on with just trying to identify what kind of character or hero this guy actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to agree with you. It feels a little pulled back. However, I really like the corporate looking stuff a lot. I like how stripped down it is, and it to me, it just leaves more room for the acting, which I would almost say is like the strongest suit in this show. It's not the fighting, and that's okay. That's okay. I get that, but I feel like they wanted to just leave room for the acting. I don't think it was a budget thing. Like, why would they cut back after?
Oh, I actually kind of disagree, but go ahead. I can address my point later.
Oh, about the acting?
No, the budget.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you should, because I tend to agree, but I don't know. I can't say it's totally affected my appreciation of what they've done, because I feel like it is Iron Fist's world. However, it's the show to me is consistently inconsistent, and because it's consistently inconsistent, I just accept it, you know?
Yeah. To me, what really I feel that it lacks, again, like I said, it sort of lacks its own distinct style. Like, I think, like, I know that Luke Cage to me was also a bit of a misstep in a way, in the way that the series kind of flowed throughout its like 13 episodes. But in the end, I felt like Luke Cage was like a really solid success. But Luke Cage sort of like used the template of sort of like blaxploitation era film, you know, action movies, stuff like that as sort of its backdrop. And also a lot of Spike Lee influence in there, in my opinion, as far as like the cinematography was concerned and stuff like that. I feel like Iron Fist is something that could have been or should have been influenced by classic martial arts cinema, and it really, you know, the show in and of itself is really not playing like that, you know what I mean?
No, I agree, I totally agree with you, but I almost feel like and that's what I was looking for. I was looking for them to cast like an unknown amazing kung fu martial artist and to have all these great references to kung fu. The issue with that is I think as a production team they really had to look and check who their audience is and what they're doing overall with the scope of bringing the heroes to Netflix. And I think they made actually the correct decision, because to me, it seems to me like they are just staying true to the source material. And if you go back and look at a lot of the kung fu that he's doing in the books, it's not the kind of kung fu that we've now come to appreciate from the likes of your Jackie Chan's, Donnie Yen's, Jet Li's, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? I feel like they're sticking to comic booky type kung fu action rather than kung fu action.
Well, comic book kung fu action and, like, you know, film and stuff is very different because of the different mediums, too.
Yeah.
You know, quick little movements don't really, you know, work in comic books as much as, like, big flying kicks and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that really kind of roundly got criticized in some of the early reviews were the action scenes, right? And it's really funny because this kind of like addresses the whole way, like when I watched the first episode, there was a fight move or something. I think he was fighting security or something that looked really clumsy to me. I was like, like really slow, like. That did not seem very well edited. Like, they showed like a full on, like I think that's a little bit of what this show is doing differently. It's not doing sort of like quick cut. It's kind of showing fullness of movement in a lot of the fight scenes, and it's because of that it sort of doesn't fit in maybe with the rest of the shows. And I feel like it sort of also lends you to look at it and be like, oh, I'm actually looking at this whole movement play out. And it seems a little awkward to me because fighting is never perfect anyway, right?
You mean fighting in real life?
In real life or like in the ring or whatever, right?
Sure. I mean, again, I think it's a choice they had to make, because if you get into the kind of shooting that they do on martial arts movies, you're there forever shooting a scene. Yeah. They can't keep cutting and resetting and cutting and resetting on the set, because you're going to burn your whole entire day and you're not going to have any time for any of the dialogue they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that could have been another consideration they made. The scene you're referring to, though, Christian, is that the one in the beginning where he's a bum and he fights the guys in the lobby of the...
It's a scene where he like ducks under a person or like rolls under somebody. I seem to remember, and I seem to remember the execution of that move looking like really clumsy. But then, you know, I've gotten up to, and what we're doing here is the first half of Iron Fist. Obviously, like the sort of tradition that we developed on this show is, you know, do the first part the first week and then the week after do the second part. But I've gotten up to episode 6, and I've noticed that the pacing or the intensity of the fighting has sort of increased as the show has gone on, which I sort of appreciate. And I've also noticed sort of, I don't know if it's the actual actor himself or the editing, but it seems like there's a different, this guy is definitely employing a different style of fighting than, say, like Daredevil was, or even Luke Cage or Jessica Jones. Like, there's a smoothness to his movement as it goes on. Like, he's definitely doing things with his arms, and I don't know what you call them, where he's, and also spinning around to dodge somebody and, like, you know, doing a twirl or something like that, that seem a bit less aggressive. If that's the right word, you know, to me, I know that the little bit that I know of Kung Fu is that it's sort of more using your opponent's sort of like strengths against them, right? And if I'm right about that, or is that judo? I'm not sure. But I think Kung Fu is a bit more about sort of embracing the flow of the conflict or something. And again, completely ignorant on this subject, but I only know what I've read in books and movies. And it seems to me like he is a much more sort of graceful fighter, and that when he is hitting people, it seems more like a tap than like a slam. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I can't tell what style of kung fu he's doing, because in fact it seems really like a mix of a lot of different things.
Sure.
And to it seems, you know, especially with martial arts, like if you go on the karate side, which is what Colleen Wing, is that her name?
Colleen Wing. Yeah.
Right. Colleen's coming from the a Japanese style, which is really more Taekwondo or Kyokushin. Or it could be what branched off of Kyokushin karate, which is a very hard-hitting, full-contact style with Sado karate. In every kind of martial art, you have different flavors. So he is doing a thing that does resemble where he's kind of, you know, there's like this kind of like energy transfer, right? Where he is going, like you said, with the opponent's energy. But there are styles of kung fu that are incredibly, you know, destructive and can be more violent and can have different types of attacks. And I think I don't know why they chose this style, but I mean, to him to do these sort of graceful kung fu moves and then just spin around and elbow some dude in the face, like it's again, it's kind of consistently inconsistent, right? We can't really make out what the actual style is. And I almost feel like the character in the show, he's figuring out all this too. The character has so many freaking issues. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. He's definitely up there with Daredevil, which with how messed up in the head he is a little bit. Well, maybe not that badly, but I think we've got a character. It's really interesting because when I was watching the first episode, it definitely had a different feel than the other Netflix shows. And again, I thought it felt a bit more, for lack of a better term, sort of relaxed. Like, it wasn't playing out to be as intense. And at first I was like, oh, I know what you guys are doing. He was raised with monks. And the flavor of this show is going to be a lot more relaxed and a lot less sort of aggressive because, you know, he's more into, like, you know, being a monk and, you know, discovering his chi and, you know, being open to the energy. So this will be a bit more of a relaxed pacing. And that's what I was thinking that they were doing. But then, you know, and that was what I was thinking critics and people might have been misreading, the fact that, like, oh, this is sort of like, he's going to be the more relaxed sort of superhero. But then as the season went on, my theory about that kind of like went out the window. And I was like, oh, that was kind of purely accidental. That was just me like reading into it. You know what I mean? You know, but yeah, we should definitely talk a little bit about the plot. I mean, the basic plot, you know, is that there is this young boy, and he's going on a plane with his over the Himalayas with his parents, there is a plane crash, and he is raised by warrior monks in the kingdom. What's the kingdom called? I always get it screwed up.
Kunlun.
Kunlun. Yeah, Kunlun. Okay, in the kingdom of Kunlun, and as an adult, he's come back to New York City to sort of reclaim his father's company, or at least that's one of his motivations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when he reaches New York, obviously he's sort of like the stranger in a strange land, and he's sort of like walking around in bare feet and dirty clothes, looks a little bit like a homeless guy or a surf bum, and, you know, everyone that he... Well, everyone thinks he was dead. He died when he was about 10 years old in the plane crash. So a lot of the beginning of the show is him trying to convince the people that he grew up with that he really is this Danny Rand person. And as he kind of goes through, you know, the paces of self-discovery and stuff, he starts to discover that there is something nefarious going on within his company, and that there is this group called The Hand that is sort of like moving into New York for, you know, nefarious reasons. And this, the group, The Hand, we saw them introduced in Daredevil, I believe, season 2, correct?
I think season 1.
Yeah, little bit of season 1. Yeah. But I think they kind of came thundering through in season 2, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 And so the point that I've gotten to is that Danny Rand has discovered that The Hand is trying to use his company to get a synthetic heroine into New York City, and he has engaged in a challenge with, I don't know what she is. She's like one of the members of The Hand, the leaders of The Hand. I haven't discovered it yet. Again, I'm up to episode 6, but he's faced off against 3 martial artists and kind of won the challenge, but failed it at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Correct. Yeah. And that's where we left off after the, is that where we left off?
That's where I left off.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm on like, I think I've 1 episode left in the whole thing, so
holy,
I don't want to.
I don't want to
go too far. I love the actor. By the way, can we talk about some of the actor acting, Christian?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I actually really enjoy the actors in this show.
Me
especially
too.
I gotta say, I had my doubts about the lead, but I actually think playing a guy who's going through culture shock, who has incredible, you know, childhood trauma, who wants to be a superhero and is a billionaire, but also at the same time is supposed to be a monk, yet he's a deserter from where he, you know, where he learned all these great abilities. I think Finn Jones is doing a great job with the character. I think he's doing great. Obviously, the fighting aside, I think it would take at least 2 years for him to be competent, to, you know, if he practiced every day, about 2 years is when you start to see, you know, the martial arts like get in your body. I think you guys, we saw the hatchet scene, right? In the hallway. That was in the first
scene. Yeah. The hallway scene.
I thought that was fantastic, that the way that was shot.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
To me, that was the most convincing action sequence I saw him do, where I was like, hey, all right, you know, he's doing wacky moves that are kung fu, and I thought it was just really well done. But I really like Colleen Wing or Jessica Henwick. I really love this guy Tom Pelfrey, who's playing Ward. And the guy playing his dad is insane, David Wenham. And I got to give props to Madame Gao, who is just very creepy.
Yeah.
And fantastic. So I really do like the acting in this. And real quick, before I flip it to you guys, I had a question. Was, do you think when they reviewed the weak script or whatever, they were just kind of being caught off guard that there are corny lines in this show? Like there are corny.
Oh, yeah.
There are deliberate corny moments, and I feel like the critics took those to heart, like they were supposed to be seriously acted all the time.
Here's the thing is, again, I feel like this is the least strong of all of them, and all right. of them have had corny moments, like let's admit it. But like let's say Luke Cage has had him say some corny stuff, but at least they had other characters say like, oh, that's like a part of your personality, you're so corny, you know, like Claire would be like, oh my god, you're so corny, I can't believe you said that, you know. Or the character, like a character in Daredevil, would say something corny and it would be said with such earnestness that it would kind of they could kind of sell it. I feel like in this, there's a bit of, again, a bit of a pacing issue and a bit of a direction issue in a lot of episodes where things don't play out as distinctly or as perfectly as they could. You know, and I wonder, there is a part of me, because I know that there were a lot of rumors that, you know, after Daredevil season two, that Marvel and Netflix were thinking about ditching Iron Fist altogether and just moving on to the Punisher, because they loved what they were seeing was going on with the Punisher. And then there was rumors that, like, no, they weren't going to ditch Iron Fist. They were just going to make it a movie. And, okay, no, now it's going to be a show again. So I have a feeling, there is a feeling that I have that, you know, Iron Fist may have been a bit of an afterthought, you know,
right.
Like, let's get this done. You know what I mean? Like, let's get it over with. And I feel like a lot of that plays out in the corporate stuff, in the fact that it seems like they've limited their locations by placing a lot of stuff in that, in those corporate offices and having those characters play out scenes. You know, I feel like that may be part of what was holding, keeping the budget down, if I can say. If you have more characters dealing with, like, you know, corporate speak or meeting in boardrooms and stuff like that, limited locations, then you have less, like, giant fight scenes. And it's really funny that you mentioned the what's become a tradition in this first wave of Netflix shows, the hallway fight scene.
Oh,
in,
like, I love hallway fight scenes.
Yeah. But I also felt like this was kind of the
Punisher one. It's become a theme.
Yeah. And I mean, Daredevil, I mean, obviously started it, but I really feel that that this was sort of the weakest hallway scene for me. I mean, I think that I don't disagree with you that it was well executed, but I feel like it was the least spectacular of them all. You know,
absolutely.
I mean?
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
But, and, I mean, Daredevil 2 just took that to a whole new level, and it was just amazing. And this wasn't anywhere near that, you know. Yeah,
but even Luke Cage's was, like, crazy with firearms and, like, insane, you know what I mean? Like, explosions and blowing out walls and him throwing things. I feel like there's definitely a part of me that feels like this Iron Fist. And again, I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's bad. But I do feel it's the one that kind of might have gotten left behind. And I feel like there may be a contingent somewhere that's like, come on, let's just get to the Defenders. Like, let's just get this over with and get to the Defenders. That's just sort of the feeling that I'm getting, especially with all the rumors that were kind of surrounding, you know, after Daredevil season two came out, where people were just, like, flipping out about the Punisher, right?
Oh yeah. Punisher.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I really feel like, I mean, I just feel like this one is lacking a sort of a cultural identity that it could have had. You know, again, we talked about, like, maybe basing stuff off of, like, old martial arts movies or the tradition of martial arts movies. And I feel like there's so much loaded stuff already, you know, with that a lot of people are feeling, you know, towards the lead actor, because he is Caucasian and he's not Asian. You know, I feel like they sort of missed, at least in the first six episodes, this opportunity to sort of play him up as the outsider within Kunlun and the outsider in the outside world. Like, he's, you know, I just feel like they could have addressed that more. There's definitely some, obviously, out there in the internet world, like, boiling cultural issues of, like, oh my God, like, here's the white guy, you know, the martial artist. And however anyone feels about that, that's fine. I don't necessarily want to get into that. But I feel like there is sort of, I mean, I don't know. Have we reached a point? It's just interesting. Obviously, like, you know, reading what I've read about Bruce Lee or whatever, like, introducing martial arts into the United States, into Western culture, was not necessarily an easy thing for a lot of people to do or have it be accepted from either culture, right? And I just feel like there's a bit of a cultural identity thing that could have been addressed here, you know, in the fact that this is kind of a Caucasian guy, but he's sort of like co-opted our culture a little bit. Like, what's up with that? Like, does that make any sense? Am I making any sense about that? Or is that just me talking out my ass?
Well, no, I kind of understand what you're saying. I think it touches on one of the two weakest points, which is the whole, like, the martial art thing, and I don't mean the actual fighting, I mean the discipline and all the history behind it, and supposedly the monks, and, you know, where he's coming from. He doesn't seem, other than saying a few things about, like, being peaceful and a few things about selling the, you know, the drugs at cost and stuff like that, there doesn't seem to be a very cohesive identity behind all that stuff.
You know what? You nailed it. That was one of the things that was bothering me too, because I feel like, you know, all through the beginning of the show, he's supposed to have been gone since he was 10 years old. And he seems very at home in New York as an adult. You know what I mean? And there is a part of me that was very much like, I don't think, like, if you were raised in a foreign culture from the age you were 10 and you were just dropped into Manhattan, I think it would be a bit more of a culture shock. Don't you guys think?
Yeah. And he, like I said, I don't feel like he has a very clear identity of being a, you know, warrior monk, and is supposedly one that has risen to, like, one of the highest, you know, positions or whatever, like, that you can get to. He doesn't seem, you know, like,
from a different culture.
Like, yeah, he doesn't seem to have anything really, other than being a little bit of, like, a pacifist in some areas and wanting to help people. Like, that's it, you know?
Well, these are the things he constantly struggles with in the comics. Even the newer comic, the Immortal Iron Fist, where they basically introduce, like, hey, he's not just one Iron Fist. This guy's part of a long lineage of a bunch of Iron Fists. But he's constantly struggling with being this billionaire guy who's supposed to do all this stuff and be responsible and be... And look, this guy's green. He's greener than anything. The lady comes up to him outside his corporation, says, "Hey, help us." You know, he's like, "Okay, I'll help you." It's like, no, like, he has no clue what he's doing on any level. And I think it's being well represented, though, because he deserted Kunlun, and to get the honor that he got, you know, he had to defeat a dragon in a very special ceremony. But for a large part, he's untested, even from where he was trained.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets even weirder, because, yeah, he comes home and he's like, "Oh, I'll just jump right back into this New York stuff." But it's like, dude, you have no idea how to run a $1 billion company.
Yeah.
And it's clear he doesn't. He truly doesn't. I mean, he thinks his dad's friend is his buddy.
Yeah.
He's freaking in so over his head, and he's so untested, but in his mind, he reminds me of, like, a millennial. And I hope I didn't offend any of our listeners or any of our staff, but or to go even younger, he reminds me of someone who's, like, almost an adolescent, you know, when you've seen kids be stubborn and be like, "Well, I'm going to go do this," or "I'm going to run away from home." And then, you know, they try to do it, then they realize, like, you can't do all this stuff that he's trying to do.
Well, he definitely has those, like, kid-like moments where you're this is not, like, you know, I'm not going to get into the details because I think it actually happens in a later episode.
It
but
might,
it's,
yeah.
But it's just, like, this thinking where he's not following through on the thinking.
And someone, right.
You know, someone even asks him and he, like, he doesn't have a follow-through.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, he generally does seem like a child.
Yeah, he has tantrums almost, where he's like, I know what I'm doing. I think he says that a lot in the beginning, where he's like very sure of himself, but it's like he has no like experience in, like, anything he's doing. He's untested as the Iron Fist, and he's untested as a corporate billionaire.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a mess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, those are some really good points. I mean, I definitely get the sort of, like, childlike quality and a bit of the naivete that that he has. And but there's definitely something that I'm confused by, and definitely by episode six, is that you know, he's very much sort of he keeps talking about how he's been trained, or how he is the Iron Fist, or I've been trained all my life for this. But when he gets to the point of at least this first test in episode six, where he has to fight the enemy, he's really kind of like chicken shit a little bit. He's right. He's a bit like, and it's really weird. I'm like, there's a part of me that feels like, dude, if you've been training all your life and this is like one of the highest things in this society's like culture, like, don't you think you should have a little more confidence? And he just keeps like, he's acting almost like Peter Parker in a Spider-Man comic, where he's like, can I defeat, I don't know, like, oh. And then, and you know, and he's having a little bit of this like sort of conversation with the monk that was, I'm assuming, training him at some point. And you know, and he's just so full of self-doubt in that combat thing. And that's one of the things that bugs me a little bit, is that you've got this guy who's trained to be a warrior his whole life. And from what I'm understanding of the story, it seems like never really thought that he would have to face the actual hand. Like, thought they were pretty much a myth, you know what I mean?
Right, right. But at the same, he says as much,
yeah,
doesn't he?
I think he says as much. Yeah, he says as much. And you know, he does say like, oh, I never thought I'd actually have to face them. But there's a part of me that also that feels like you would be, I mean, if that's what you were trained to be, a weapon, then you would be like, all right, I'm ready to throw down. You know what I mean? As opposed to sort of like this like little lost boy that he becomes. Like, it's a nitpick, but there's a part of me that thinks like when he goes into combat, that's when he becomes like fully confident, right?
I do agree, but the way they're representing it here,
yeah,
is there's a lot of self-doubt and he's not fully realized yet.
Yeah.
I think in the book, all of what you said is there, except in the current book or the last major arc. Yeah, when he goes into combat, he's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing. It's full confidence there. But what we're seeing is, it's like, again, this like adolescent version of Iron Fist. So I think that adds to even more people's confusion more, because you're seeing this guy. You're like, how do I get behind this guy? He can't even get behind himself.
Yeah.
As a character. And that could be hard to watch stuff like that.
That's true. And that may be part of another part of why critics are having such a hard time with it, because I don't think this is like sort of your stereotypical. I think one of the critic reviews I saw was complaining about how he wasn't quipping or something. And I'm like, well, dude, he's not Iron Man. He's not like, right. This guy is not, you know, Luke Cage. He's not, you know, I mean, even, you know, Daredevil wasn't necessarily quipping, but he's not like Captain America. He's sort of like a very new and different sort of character introduced into this Marvel universe, where he's not like confident right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, I think he actually, you made a Spider-Man reference. He does get more quippy and definitely towards Spider-Man, I think, stylings.
Towards
actually.
The end?
No, I mean, just in general, when he's just himself. There's a lot of just him kind of like being like joking and knowing that he's, you know, no, like just more aware of himself and who he is. So there's more confidence, at least the way he's been written in the stuff that I've read.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing that here at all. We're seeing a guy who is kind of like, you know, a little bit out of his league.
Yeah. 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 It's really interesting because, again, sort of like going back to the the boardroom stuff, there's a couple of things that I wish they'd sort of like dragged out a little more. And one of them was the sort of reveal of Harold Meacham being alive.
Oh my God, you know, that guy.
He's great and everything, but I wish that they had like played that out a bit more. You know what I mean? Where the reveal of him being alive this whole time would have been a bit more shocking, where you would have been like, oh my God, that guy's alive. And sort of like let Ward shine a little bit more, because the actor that's playing Ward, in my opinion, is badass. Like, he has just got this calm intensity. Obviously, I'm sort of getting to the point of where you start to discover that he's addicted to opioids or whatever. He makes a stupid move of taking the dragon heroin.
Oh my God, dragon heroin.
Yeah, don't do the dragon heroin. But, you know, he... I think that that guy is like sort of like the most intense and probably talented guy in the whole cast. He's impressed me immensely. Like, in every scene he's in, he just looks like he's going to snap. You know?
He's going to lose it. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. 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 And so what about Colleen Wing? What do you guys think about? I mean, I know, Ian, you said you liked her, but what are some of your feelings towards her?
I mean, I think she does a great job with the martial arts stuff. She's, I think she's doing a good job acting wise too and everything. I don't know about her character. I don't know, the relationship that, that they have just seems, rushed or too quick. I don't know.
I know that definitely by episode 6, it definitely seems like she's kind of like falling for him already. And for someone who was kind of resisting his quote unquote, you know, advances, it definitely seems like things are kind of like she's kind of like moving into it quite quickly.
Yeah.
What about you, Ian? What do you think?
Well, let's see. So, Christian, you've seen the cage fighting stuff?
I've seen her cage fighting. Yeah.
That to me was really interesting because I was like...
Well, okay, you tell me. There was definitely a part of me when I was watching, I was like, no way. Like, those dudes were like a house. And I really didn't feel like she could... Like, I was like, all right, this is really stretching my willing suspension of disbelief, you know? Where I was like, oh my God, like there's no way she could take those guys out. But Ian, you tell me. You know more about fighting than I do.
I mean, first of all, I wasn't shocked, but I was surprised that they went the male on female and then two males on one female.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not network shows. The only other show I've really seen this done is Lucha Underground, which is a Mexican wrestling show, which is produced by Robert Rodriguez. And they have done wrestling, pro wrestling matches where you have a man versus a woman. I guess in this situation, because it's a story and we know the actors aren't really getting hurt, that no one really said like, hey, why? Because that gets really weird. Man and woman, you know, mixed matches.
Well, it's not even that. I just, for me, it was more, that wasn't my concern, man and woman. My concern was like those guys would pulverize.
Right. Well, no, I'm getting there. I'm definitely getting there. So it's interesting because when she took on the two guys, when they were looking around for the second guy and they call out, I don't know, some silly name, the guy that actually stepped into the ring is a retired MMA fighter named Jay Haran, who was, I think, a wrestler at Hofstra University. And he was kind of dubbed the most unluckiest professional MMA fighter ever. And it's because he was doing really good early in his career, and then what happened was fighters would drop out to fight against him. He would get hurt, and he made a switch a few years ago to become a stuntman. And last year I heard an interview with him where he's talking about doing Marvel stuff, and then sure enough, he appears in this scene. So I was like, oh, that's where Jay Haran went. Again, to me, that was very inconsistent like choreography, and I was like, well, why is she all of a sudden – she's doing this because she needs the rent, but it's almost like she's – why I didn't understand, guys, why she went to start doing it because she saw her student had the thing.
So
her motivation to get there to me was strange because it just seemed like, okay, we're going to show you some cage fighting just in case you think the kung fu's whack in this show. That's like – it felt like an apology. Like just give them some cage fighting because – we could be sloppy, ugly, and nasty in the cage because that's, you know, that's in vogue right now. Whereas with the kung fu stuff, it's like, oh, excuse us, you know, don't look too closely at this beginning kung fu stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I felt like it was like. I mean, Christian, anything's possible, but come on. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous.
I mean, she's really tiny. I mean, I was like, wow. And there's definitely scenes of her like walk. First of all, what is she training those kids to do? Because I think in the second episode, she's like, they're stalking her and you think like, oh, you think it's like the hand or somebody or like mobsters or something. And she beats them all up and she's like, oh, don't even like, you know, she was basically training them on like, I don't know what, urban combat.
Pink Panther, man.
What's that?
She Pink Panthered their ass.
Yeah, she did the Pink Panther. You're right. She did the Inspector Clouseau, which is like attack me and then,
that dog. Yeah,
exactly. That's really funny. But no, I mean that was the thing, and I was thinking to myself, well, is she engaged in this war that they were discussing on Daredevil? And it was like, no, she's just teaching your kids how to attack people in the city. Like I
right.
understand. No,
I mean
this.
That's a very good point that you bring that up. To me, again, just sort of out of left field. And unless if you go back and I don't know if you guys have ever seen Cynthia Rothrock movies. Are you familiar with
no.
her?
No.
Cynthia Rothrock is one of the most famous women's martial artists out there, and she did a slew of movies. And you watch some of her action scenes, and you actually believe she's going to whoop your ass because she's probably going to whoop your ass. Mm-hmm. So she's someone to really watch. But again, I think I don't know if this actress had martial arts training. She definitely sold it pretty well, but I don't know if she's striking with power. You know what I mean? Again, it's the same issue I have with the lead. I'm not sure how much he really knows, and that will reduce the believability of the action, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at pictures of this Cynthia Rothrock. She is hard as steel. Like, she is completely muscular, which our, you know, Colleen Wing isn't, but, you know, whatever.
I'm just saying, if you wanted to see a great example of, to me, you know, female, like, martial arts in the cinema, like, you just go watch some of Cynthia Rothrock movies. They're amazing. So I believe it can happen. I don't know.
Elektra. There was Elektra in Daredevil. She was.
Oh, yeah. Great. I like her.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. Even in Daredevil, there were some points where she was fighting a dude, and I was like, she's really skinny. Like,
yeah, that was the problem with her. She was super skinny.
Yeah, and that was actually something that I actually said to my wife while we were watching season two of Daredevil. It's like her, I actually believed her moves, you know, but at the same time, I felt like if she were to strike just a regular blow, some dude would just blow it off because she didn't have any real muscle tone to, you know, follow that up with. And I realize that there are like nerve punches and blah, 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 and all this martial arts stuff that I don't know or understand and stuff like that. But there's definitely a part of me like that believes that if you're striking, I mean, obviously you have to know how to strike, right? But if you are sort of like this really skinny or really tiny, you know, person, it's not going to be as effective as this huge mountain man that is about to, because those dudes were big.
Oh yeah, no, you're screwed. I mean, unless she's like some kind of super master that's gonna do what Ronda Rousey did for a few years and armbar people and choke them and do that kind of stuff. But usually the power, you're right, the power difference does. That's a big deal.
There's a reason that they do weight classes, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a total reason. But, you know, again, this is another martial arts reference, but I guess we're allowed on this show. If you go back and watch online a lot of the original Gracie videos where down in Torrance, right here in California, they would open up the dojo and they would let anyone come through the doors and open challenge the Gracies, which was only jiu-jitsu. So you got kung fu guys, bar fighters, you got a whole bunch of guys who are huge, twice the size of some of these jiu-jitsu guys that go in there and get completely destroyed because it does come down to technique. I don't think this show, though, was, again, I think they're showing the fight sequences more of action, you know, almost American action storytelling based fighting, whereas in Daredevil, you know, you got heaps of some of the best fight scenes I think I've seen. You know, so it's a little different here, and that could be, Christian, back to your point about like, hey, we got to get this done, you know what I mean? Like, let's do some cage fight sequences
Speaking of small skinny people, what do you think of Iron Fist? Because there's definitely parts of me that I remember when the guy was cast and seeing pictures of him, and I'm like, that doesn't look like Iron Fist to me. I mean, he doesn't even have the physique of like Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee was like a small guy, but he was ripped, like ripped.
Again, like you just compared this guy to arguably the best martial artist
but
ever.
I'm talking about physicality, you know what I'm saying? Like fantasy physicality, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Finn Jones seems like a skinny guy, like really tiny to me. He doesn't seem very intimidating, and of course, this could be playing into my ignorance of fighting and what you can do depending on what you know, how to hurt people. But there's definitely a part of me that looks at him and I'm like, this guy's really skinny. Like, is he going to be able to hurt somebody?
Well, I mean, I guess if that's going to affect your believability of the story, then yeah, that's, I mean, it's a valid criticism. But look, I don't know if you've seen, you know, Donnie Yen was just in Star Wars. If you've seen some of his earlier movies, Donnie Yen looks like a regular guy who's walking down the street.
Okay.
Except if you watch something like Flashpoint, which he's done, you will see him do moves in there that look completely deadly. And he's a little guy, you know? I mean, look how tiny Jet Li is.
Yeah. But Jet Li's got he's got a frame. He's got, you know what I'm saying? Like, even Bruce Lee was kind of like I said, like, but Finn Jones has
more muscle definition.
I think
that's more for the camera, though. Honestly, I think the them being ripped is more for, you know, for the movies than anything else. I mean, because if you look at fighters in MMA stuff and other things, I mean, they're not always... I mean, they have good muscles. They're muscular, but they're not always like super ripped, you know.
No, but like you said, they have muscles, and Finn Jones has no. I mean, from what I've been able to tell, he's very, very lean man. You know what I mean?
All right, let me ask you something though, guys. So do you remember Sammo Hung? Do you ever watch Sammo Hung stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've seen.
He was a heavyset guy. He trained with Jackie Chan originally.
Yeah.
He was actually Jackie Chan's older brother, quote unquote, in the where they trained in the Chinese opera school. But what do you feel like when you watch someone like him? Because he's like a heavy guy doing kung fu. How do you feel about that?
I feel like he could do some damage.
Right. So body type shouldn't matter. I think actually, Christian, what you're reacting to is because he's not a martial artist, the moves that he's doing don't mean as much as they would if someone who's been practicing this for a long time would be doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects storytelling. You know, when Bruce Lee did Enter the Dragon, he's quoted as saying, like, they're like, asked him about his acting. He's like, he didn't even think about the acting. He said, I approach the acting as a martial artist. So everything I did in the movie was just my training of what I've trained my whole life. So those guys, and again, Jackie Chan's, Jet Li's, Bruce Lee's, Donnie Yen's, they're bringing a whole different mindset to that kind of thing. And when you don't cast the martial artist, you're going to get critique like you're giving, which is totally valid. And that was my biggest pain point, was like, okay, I'm going to have to just bite my tongue because he's not going to be doing this stuff with conviction.
But the guy that plays Daredevil is not a martial artist, and he looked like he could do some damage to me. He looked physically intimidating to a certain extent, like not as much as like some of those guys that walked into the MMA pit with Colleen Wing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I felt like if that guy unloaded on me or came after me, there's definitely, you know, I'm not body shaming the guy. I just feel like, you know, I feel like he just seems a little too slight to me to be able. It's almost the same thing that I felt about Brie Larson when they cast her as Captain Marvel. I was like, and it is very much the same thing as the woman who's been cast as Wonder Woman. Like, she has no muscle tone on her, so I don't really find her all that physically intimidating, you know. And when you talk about Sammo Hung, it's not even about muscle, it's about size, it's about stature, it's also about the way that you hold yourself in a way. And there's definitely a part of like Finn Jones, which I guess could be disarming in a way, you know, where I feel like he doesn't feel like he could do that much damage. And I wish they'd maybe played that aspect of him up a bit more. You know what I mean? Because if you look at him, he looks like a very skinny guy to me. You know? He could be fast and, you know, right. hurt a nerve cluster. I'm sure he could do that. But there's definitely a part of me that I just, that looks at him and I'm a little bit like, you need to pump a little iron there, buddy boy, or eat a couple brownies, you know?
Do you think if he was a better martial artist, you wouldn't care what his body looked like?
Well, I will say that, you know, if you train every day, you know, to do physical labor, physical work in martial arts, I'm assuming you're going to have a certain amount of muscle tone, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's what Christian is getting to, that seems to be lacking. Like, it doesn't look like he could do a bunch of push-ups.
I'm looking at a picture of him meditating in a suit right now, and his shoulders look like they're on clothes hangers. Okay, guys? Like, I'm sorry. He's not a very physically... I think the guy's a good actor. I think he's very handsome. Finn Jones, don't be angry at me. He could probably kick my ass with everything that he's learned, but I'm just saying...
Wait a minute, though, Christian. What about David Carradine in the original Kung Fu show?
I never really watched it, and
I'd be curious to know what you would think about that, because there was a guy, you know, the story, you know, the story, I think, was, you know, he knew nothing. And they said, do you want to do this show? They gave it to him over Bruce Lee. They went with an American guy, or, you know, actually Carradine was, I think he had a mixed culture. So there he was part Asian, but, you know, but what happened with him was he learned and actually became embedded in Kung Fu and actually really learned it as the show went on.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what they did here. They're like, okay, we're going to take this. And I'm hoping that's what they did here. Said, okay, we'll give you the 6 months of training before we shoot. But everyone's going to know, like, I'm hoping that's why we're seeing adolescent Iron Fist. And if they stick with this guy in a few years, you're going to see a guy really grow with the character, and he's just going to get better. And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. Or they're going
to
say,
he's not supposed to be amateur. He's supposed to be trained Iron Fist, the living weapon. You know what I'm saying?
But everything we've seen, at least through episodes 1 through 7, is this guy's not prepared for anything.
Yeah, well, you're right. At least emotionally.
I'm just saying, like, that was an adjustment I had to make, was I'm like, he's not a badass.
Yeah.
He, you know, so that, taking all that into consideration, there's a very big trust there with Marvel. Or, you know, what they do is they say, oh, he's a long line of Iron Fist. Guess what we do? We switch out the character. We get a female to play the Iron Fist, or we get another guy. And then all of a sudden you could pick it up that way, if they even stay with this character. Because to me, this character is like, it's just, it'll make people's heads loopy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how the rest of the season goes. I think we should come back next week and discuss the final 7 or 6 episodes.
Oh, I'd love to.
But I mean, as of right now, for me, this is definitely the weakest of the bunch. But I like it. I do not dislike it, and I'm actually having some fun watching it. And I look forward to getting towards the end and eventually to the Defenders. How about you guys?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I keep getting frustrated in these shows that they don't start tying it in more. In, you know, since, like, I don't know, Jessica Jones even, but I get really frustrated that there's not, like, these little things where they could, you know, bring in Daredevil or someone else just for an episode, even, like, that type of stuff. So I'm already like, come on, let's tie this all together, you know?
Let's get to it.
Yeah. So absolutely dying for that to happen.
All right. Well, let's come back next week and discuss part 2 of Iron Fist. This has been the part 1 of Iron Fist part-time fanboy discussion. I am Christian Horn. I have Leod Goldberg with the Iron Flu on the line, and Ian Scheller have joined me this week for this discussion. Thank you for listening to this episode of Part-Time Fanboy, and check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know the deal. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
Part-time fanboy.